Well, good morning to everybody. Happy New Year. This is the first Sunday of the new year of 2021, and certainly glad to have this opportunity to be here with you at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. We trust worship the Lord and look into His Word and find some words of comfort to lead us not only through this day, but throughout the year that we face. You know, 2020 has been a trial and troubling year, and we've continued here at Macedonia to meet and worship the Lord through every Sunday, although a lot of churches have disbanded services and not met because of the conditions. We thank the Lord and praise His name that He's enabled us to meet together as those of common belief to worship and adore and worship the Lord. Yes. Now this morning I turned to a scripture that I want to read to you from the book of Luke. But there's one particular thought that I want to get from it that I'll center my thoughts on this morning. Now, this is in the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, and for you Bible readers that read the Gospels, you'll remember that this was a time in that 22nd verse when they were aligning Judas up to betray the Lord, and in the end, Judas identified to the Roman soldiers who were going to bring him to have to be crucified by betraying him with a kiss, and that would be the key that would identify for them Judas telling them which one of those men in that group was actually Jesus the Lord. So all of that happened in 22, and they were doing everything in the Jewish realm and the Jewish councils to come up with some way to remove Jesus from the scene, to get him off the troubling things that he was claiming to be that they didn't believe he was. But he was indeed who he said he was, even though they stood against him. And so here they were doing all they could to bring about his death, but they had no authority to put him to death, so they were seeking some way to bring about the death of Jesus. And in the beginning of chapter 23, and I want to just read the first five verses, they had brought Jesus unto Pilate. Of course, Jesus went before Pilate's court, and it's very interesting what these first five verses of chapter 23 will tell us, and we'll just read them, and then we'll take that one thought that I want to center on our minds this morning as we look at God's Word. It says, chapter 23, verse 1, the book of Luke, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. And then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And in verse 5 he says, And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Now all of this conversation here in these first five verses was a people that were bringing Jesus to Pilate because Pilate had the authority to put him to death. So they brought him to Pilate. They brought charges against Jesus, saying that he professes to be king. Now what they were accusing Jesus of was he was usurping the authority of the local civil authorities that Caesar had control of. Jesus never claimed to be the king to replace Caesar. He never proclaimed to be the king over the civil authorities of Jerusalem or Israel of that particular time. Jesus claimed a kingship. If you remember, he even told Pilate this answer. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight?" Well, if he claimed to be a king and he wasn't the king over the civil authorities that Caesar was over, what was he the king of? He was the king of his kingdom that is not of this world. And I profess to you, I believe that Jesus has a kingdom, and I refer to it as the triumphant kingdom, the kingdom of all of God's children, everyone that God the Father chose and elected before the world was. Every single one of them are in the triumphant kingdom and are translated into that kingdom by the power of God when he quickens them and gives them eternal life. And Jesus is the king of that triumphant kingdom. And Jesus, right this very moment, is seated there at the right hand of the throne of God, ruling and reigning over his kingdom, that triumphant kingdom that he has here in this world that includes every single born-again child of God. Now, I also believe there is an inner kingdom within that triumphant kingdom that I like to refer to as the church kingdom, or the visible kingdom, or the visible church. And that's those that are among the triumphant kingdom that are worshiping and serving the Lord each and every day of their lives, and serving him in spirit because they have the Spirit of God that's come within them, and they have Jesus Christ in them, the hope of glory. And they not only worship him in that spirit that God has given them, but they also worship him in truth. In truth, by that I mean in the truth that salvation is of the Lord, and the sinner had nothing whatsoever to do with his salvation that came to him from God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and it comes to the sinner by grace when he's not able to do anything of himself. God grants it to him and gives it to him, and when he sees the truth and joins himself and is baptized into the church, the visible church of Jesus Christ, I believe Jesus is also the king over his visible kingdom. He's the king of Macedonia, a primitive Baptist church. And we've met out here this morning for no other purpose but to worship our King Jesus. So what I want to deal with this morning is that question. And it's interesting in the reading of these five verses how all of this went, because first of all, the people accused him of claiming to be king over the civil authorities of that time. He never claimed to be that. That was a false charge. And so when Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus did not answer that question. Why? Because Jesus knew to answer that question, that Pilate nor those that were there would not understand what he meant and what kingdom it was that he was the king over. So Jesus said, "Thou sayest it." Well, when he said that, Pilate said, "You can't convict a man that says that I said it. You can't convict him for claiming to be a king because I said he's a king." You know, there was another occasion in another scripture whenever Pilate questioned Jesus, in which Jesus also was questioned about whether or not he was the king. Now, you know, this reminds me of the current day in which we live. I'm telling you how the media can take a man that's a leader of a nation, and you'll know who I'm talking about by just saying that, and take out of a comment that he said one particular phrase and leave out all the other comments he said before or after, and take that one phrase and make it something that he said that he did not say. That's what they were doing here to Jesus. He was telling them he was the king of his kingdom, the God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was, and they were taking that to mean and saying that he was saying that he was a king over the civil authorities that Caesar was over. So they twist the words of what you say and make it something that you did not say. That's what they were doing here to Jesus. So when Pilate asked him the question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, said, "Thou sayest it." And another occasion, as I said, he said, "Who said I said that? You said it. Did someone else tell you that I am the king of the Jews?" No, was Jesus the king of the Jews? And that's what I want to deal with this morning. I want to deal with, was Jesus king? And since Jesus did not answer the question here, was he indeed king? Well, let's take a look at it here from God's word. And I'll take God's word over whether he was king over any other thing that might be said about it. We'll find in the book of Matthew that at the birth of Jesus, now you know we just went through the Christmas season. It's the season in which we generally reflect upon the birth of Jesus, which is fine. That's fine with me, but I can talk about the birth of Jesus any day of the week because it's in God's Word. And it doesn't matter whether we're in December or whether we're in January. The birth of Jesus occurred, and it's very critical and important to us to know that Jesus was born. He was the Messiah. He was the promised Messiah that God had promised by the prophets in the Old Testament that would be born to redeem Israel. Who am I talking about? Israel. I'm talking about that kingdom, that triumphant kingdom, that people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, and tribe of people upon the face of the earth, that Jesus came here, went to the cross of Calvary, and paid the sin debt of every single one of them. Well, was Jesus indeed a king? We'll find in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, it says this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, my answer to Pilate's question, since Jesus didn't answer it, God's word said at his birth, as a babe laying in a manger, he was king of the Jews. He was born king. He was brought for the purpose of being the redeemer of a multitude of people that God the Father had given to him. And even as a babe laying in a manger, men, wise men, and many others came and followed the star to where he lay and worshiped the babe Jesus as king. Yes, he was king. Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Do you hear me? Worship him. They went there to worship the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why? Because he was born the king of the Jews. That is proof positive and enough for me if I stop right there. Jesus indeed was the king of the Jews. But let's go over a little further in a situation that occurred later in Jesus' life, after he grew up and was in his public ministry at about 30 something years of age. We'll find a situation here which will tell us something about whether or not Jesus was the king. It says, and this was something that Jesus preparing to occur, something that had been prophesied in the Old Testament, and it was a fulfillment of that prophecy from the Old Testament. In verse chapter 21 of the book of Matthew, it says this, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go unto the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And you remember the story of how Jesus drove an ass or a donkey into Jerusalem. He came in, and many gathered there to see this King Jesus come riding into Jerusalem on this donkey. And it was also the time that Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in the tree and invited Zacchaeus to come down and went home with Zacchaeus. Yes, he was a king, and this describes him as a king. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that he was a king. Yes, the prophets of God in the Old Testament said he was a king. And he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they worshiped him as the King of the Jews. Yes, indeed, he was the King. And this was the fulfillment of that prophecy, as it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. So Jesus was declared a king at his birth by God the Father. Jesus was declared a king by the prophets of old, as this was the fulfillment of a prophecy of a king coming into Jerusalem riding upon this donkey. Now let's go over into the book of Timothy. Now you remember the story of what the book of Timothy is. The book of Timothy was the apostle writing to young preacher Timothy and giving him some instructions as to what and how he should formulate and preach the ministry of the gospel unto the children of God. And here in the book of 1 Timothy, we'll find the instructions here to Timothy are these. We'll begin there in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, beginning at verse 13. He said, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 15, he declares, this is what should be preached, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So Paul, to the young preacher Timothy, he described him and told him to preach that Jesus is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Yes, indeed, Jesus, indeed. The answer to that question, art thou the King of the Jews? He definitely is a King of the Jews. You may say, well, Brother Aaron, I'm not a Jew, I'm a Gentile. No, you are also a Jew. You're a Gentile in the flesh, but you're a Jew in the spirit. By the Spirit of God, he hath quickened you and given you life. And that's spiritual Israel. That's the one Jesus came here to save and redeem on the tree of the cross. Now, one other scripture in closing out this morning concerning whether or not Jesus was indeed a king can be found over in the book of Revelation. Now, this was a scripture in which John saw over into heaven, and he saw him as a king here in this description. So we saw Jesus, he was a king at his birth. We saw Jesus, he was a king in the prophecy of the Old Testament before he was born. We saw Jesus, described by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, to be preached as the King. And now we're going to see Jesus over in heaven as a King over in heaven. We'll find here in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and we'll begin there at verse 11 in the book of Revelation. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, the Word of God. Now, I want to stop right there. This person that's described upon this white horse is described as the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is Jesus. The Scripture says there's three that bear record in heaven. There's God the Father. There's God the Word, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. You'll also find in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it'll also describe a little further down in the Gospel of John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Yes, Jesus Christ was that Word of God. And then it goes on here in the book of Revelation. It says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. What was that name that was written of this one on the horse? This one that was the Word of God. This one that was God in the flesh. This one that was Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. This was written on his vesture. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of our great God. Yes, Jesus Christ, who had been gathered together, the multitude had brought him to Pilate and accused him of saying he was king. And when Pilate asked him, art thou the King of the Jews? His answer was, thou sayest it. Yes, indeed, God's Word tells us at his birth he was the King, King of the Jews. Yes, indeed, he was. And we saw later when he came into Jerusalem riding on that donkey that he was indeed the fulfillment of the prophecy that thy King is coming. Yes, King Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that day. And then in the book of Timothy, the apostle writes to Timothy to preach unto him, to preach about him, that he's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. It's a part of the gospel. We have Jesus as our King. And then we saw over in the book of Revelation where John saw him riding on a white horse. He was the Word of God, the second person of the Godhead. head, and he was had on his vesture a name, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Yes, we're here this morning to worship this Lord of Lords, this King of Kings, to begin this new year of 2021, worshiping him, continuing on each Sunday throughout this year, praising and honoring and worshiping Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Savior, because salvation is of the Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord, because we use the scriptures and follow him and make him the Lord of our life. Jesus Christ is our King, because the scripture describes him to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you for your good attention. May you continue now to pray for Elder Guthrie as he comes now to preach to us. We thank you for your attention.